Final hour on this Thursday. Next Man Up 102.5. The Game, Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly. Broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We start off hour number three going to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. As we are joined, as we are weekly during the Vandy football season, by the voice of Vanderbilt football, Andrew Allegretta. Andrew, thanks again for coming on. Great win for Vandy over the weekend to start the season.
Yeah, what's up, Jake?
Doing well. Excited to get out to Blacksburg with you this weekend. Should be a fun one. I know that Charleston Southern, not exactly a world beater to start the season, but you win 45-3. What did you see from Vanderbilt that you think sets them up for back-to-back tough road games here early in the year?
Defensive execution. It's going to get difficult versus Virginia Tech and Kyron Cronus. It's going to get difficult first things first, but then second versus Lenora Sellers with Columbia. But one of the things that we talked about a ton on our broadcast right here on 102.5 The Game, Jake, was the fact that Vanderbilt executed defensively. Very little was busted from a coverage standpoint. They gave up 3 points, which in your back pocket, when you give up a field goal up 45-0 with 7 seconds to go in the game, like, number one, first and foremost, I guarantee you those guys are like, it's okay, we didn't stop them. But there's like a corner of their heart that's like, come on, man. Come on, you just kicked a field goal down 45-0. Again, it's like not bunting with a perfect game in the eighth or ninth, right, but it is bunting with a perfect game, like in the fifth maybe. So otherwise, they play great defensively. They forced a couple of turnovers. They didn't need anybody to have 10 or 15 tackles. Like, they just executed defensively. I think when you go on the road in difficult environments, if you can hold that true, if you can hold the defensive execution where it needs to be, like, that's at least going to push these games into the fourth quarter, and then we'll see where it goes.
On the other side of the ball, you mentioned to us last week about the excitement around the wide receiver position and some of the new additions there. Caleb Barnett, they showed that fly motion, and he had the touchdown on the little touch pass. They did it again later in the game. How important can he be, and how much of a weapon can he be in these next couple of games? Maybe not even with the ball in his hands, but just having shown these teams that, and maybe can play off of it against the Hokies and the Gamecocks.
Well, I think it's Caleb Barnett, Jake. I think it's Trey Richardson. I think it's the speed that they've shown offensively with those guys. I think they had decent speed last year, Jake. I don't know that they had Trey Richardson speed. I don't know that they had Caleb Barnett speed. Neither one of those guys are 6'4" and can go run like that and then jump for the football 40 yards down the field, but they are incredibly fast. They are, like, you know, pushing world class fast. The stat that we've given on Trey Richardson is the fact that he runs a 10.300 meter and Tyreek Hill runs a 10.1. So Trey Richardson is like just a tick slower than one of the fastest guys in the NFL. I think that bodes well as much as anything, because that's going to put the defenses that they're going to go up against like on their back heels a little bit. If you're geared up for that level of speed and all of a sudden you've got one wrong step, well, that's all you need offensively to pick up 5 to 10 yards or perhaps create an explosive play. And then within all of that too, Jake, is the guy that like we've almost not talked about enough because he's so good. Like, we're learning the new players, but Eli Stowers remains like in the best possible way one of those freak level athletes with his size, his strength, and he can run with guys to an extent. He can run with guys like Caleb Barnett down the field and use that size. So there's a lot of offensive speed at the wide receiver and tight end position, which I think at least can create some chaos in the minds of opposing defenses.
Andrew Allegretta is with us here on Next Man Up with Jake Lyman. Andrew, kind of sticking with the offensive side of the ball, looking at the running back room, Cedric Alexander, just the run game in general. Obviously, you know, last week South Carolina held to 119 yards rushing. Vandy had 201. Do you see Vandy kind of striking the iron while it's hot and still using that variety of the run game? Or do you think it gets more one to two dimensional when it comes to Cedric Alexander and Diego Pavia?
I mean, that's a good question. I think you're coming off a Charleston Southern game in which, you know, what Vanderbilt puts on tape is the smallest of slices of what they can do, what they intend to do, what is the best version of their offense. To Jake's point, like, you showed that with Caleb Barnett. You showed that Diego Ponfia could have an 80% completion percentage versus the Bucs going 20 for 25. He's done that before, but the way that he threaded the needle and kind of pushed the football into the gaps of the zone down the field or whatever it happened to be, trying to stretch the defense some. Not that he's never done it, but there appeared to be an elevation of his passing ability. So I think if anything for Vanderbilt, like, they put enough variety on tape for these games against Virginia Tech versus South Carolina. I think when push comes to shove, it's like number two is going to have the football. Diego Pavia is going to have the football, and it's not it's not totally make it up as you go, but you're going to entrust this guy that knows the offense really well, who is just magical in the clutch, to try to figure out what the best play in the moment is. So some of that might be Cedric Alexander. I mean, Cedric Alexander is going to be the primary running back unless something happens or physically he can't do it or whatever it is, but he's the primary running back. I think when push comes to shove, the run game is going to go through Diego Pavia. It's going to go through Cedric Alexander, and they are going to try to keep enough of a variety throughout the course of the season that Diego and Cedric stay healthy in games 10, 11, and 12, which were not the case last year.
Sticking with variety, going to the defensive side of the ball now, it just looking at this Vandy defense and how they can just bring different, you know, just aspects to the opposing team with Kyren Drones back there throwing two interceptions last week, just what difficulties does this defense bring? You mentioned, you know, everybody's all hats to the ball type thing early on in this segment, but it just seems to be that Drones is a big factor, not only in the air, but with his feet. And it's just, Vandy's one of those teams that can do both.
Yeah, Drones will be interesting. I think what I noticed watching some of that South Carolina game with Virginia Tech is how willing they were to put the football in Drones' hands on like third down and two and third down and three and say, go run and get us the first down. Coach Lee talks a ton about improving their third down percentages from a season ago, because they weren't actually very good. It got rough, like versus Texas and LSU, and those teams are good. But to minimize Drones, Vanderbilt's success will come on first and second down. Like, if you're putting Drones, and he can pass, he's got a great arm. He's big, he's strong, he can be accurate, but like he can miss occasionally. And if Vanderbilt can find success on first and second down and put Drones in spots where he's going to have to be more of the passer and his legs are a little bit less of a factor, you know, that's where Vanderbilt can get after it. And they can use the pass rush of Nick Rinaldi or Miles Capers, who had the strip sack last week versus Charleston Southern. They can use some of that defensive line depth that they brought in through the transfer portal to get after Drones and just make them uncomfortable. So, I mean, that's kind of football 101, right, guys? But, you know, success on first and second down defensively is probably what will prompt Vanderbilt to have success through the whole game, because they can leverage things in third down.
Talking with Andrew Allegretta, voice of Vanderbilt football. Commodore is taking on Virginia Tech on Saturday. Andrew, I know we've discussed this ad nauseum about how after last year you don't mark wins and losses before the games are played, because you just never know. But when you look at the schedule, this just feels like one of those games that Vandy has to win in order to get to where they want to be at the end of the year. Do you feel some urgency in the building heading into this game that they know, hey, we beat them last year, they're going to want some get back, and we've got to go in there ready to roll? Or does it kind of feel like just another game week?
I love you, Jake, right? Like, I love you. Like, I love the whole, like, hey, I know we talked about this exact thing not being true, but is this exact thing being true this week? I sense a team that is focused on success, and that is not coach speak. I felt a team at practice on Tuesday when I was able to get out there, just locked in on the team and the game in front of them. So much in, like, obviously you and I, Jake, know the Virginia Tech environment and the history there. And like, there's all this conversation about what it means for, you know, Vanderbilt in the arc of a season, and then what's the environment like, and are you going to play against the 66,000, or are you going to play against the 11 in front of you? Like, I think Clark has done a pretty good job of boiling things down to, like, here are your brothers. You're going to step on the field with 10 of your other brothers. Can you execute the play that is called this down and then the next down? And then if you can do those things, all of the other nonsense around you tends to not matter quite as much. So I just sensed a pretty focused team on the mission in front of them. That doesn't mean it's going to go perfectly on Saturday, obviously. Like, you make a mistake early and 66,000 can jump on you pretty quick. And it's a good Virginia Tech team. Like, you can't afford mistakes stacking up on you. But I just get the sense of a team that's like, we're here for business. And I think that's a pretty notable change from Vanderbilt football, perhaps in the past 5 to 10 seasons.
Andrew, always appreciate you coming on. Excited for the game this weekend. Again, everybody out there can listen right here on 102.5 The Game, pregame at 5 and kickoff at 6:30. Andrew, I'll see you down there in Blacksburg.
You will. I don't want to chew up too much of your time, but, like, I know Vandy fans are going. Like, do you want to give them a recommendation of what they should do?
Oh, yeah.
In the hours leading up? Because you and I both know that town pretty good.
That is a good idea. Yeah.
Hit them with a recommendation for all of our Vandy fans going to Blacksburg.
Yeah, Vandy fans, if you want to go out in Blacksburg, if you're traveling to the game, Andrew, correct me if I'm missing anything here. I would say good lunch spots, PK's, the Cellar. I'm trying to think of anything else kind of in that area. Sharky?
Yeah, I mean, you do the downtown walk there. Because
right,
you're
going
to get PK's, the Cellar, you're going to get Sharky's, you're going to get a bunch of stuff, Cabo Fish Taco in that walk
right,
area.
Right, yeah.
If you want to do quintessential, like, Blacksburg-y bar thing,
Hokie House,
go to Tots. You can go to Tots. I'm partial to a restaurant called Lefty's.
It's good.
It's a little bit down the road, but I'm a fan of that. And if you're floating through, like hit me up. I'm going to be floating through that town a little bit, trying to say hi to some folks. So I didn't want to eat up too much of your time, Jake, but I know plenty of Vandy fans are going. So there's a lot of choices to just kind of soak in the game day atmosphere on that downtown stretch, which, you know, it's not Nashville. You can do that loop in about 3 to 4 minutes.
Yes, and for a lot less money, too.
That's
so,
right.
Yes, I agree. Thanks, Andrew. Appreciate it. And, yeah, if you're out there in Blacksburg, either find Andrew, find me. We'll be roaming around.
Take it easy, Jake.
Thanks, Andrew. Andrew Allegretta, voice of Vanderbilt football, joining us for his weekly visit. Commodores and Hokies coming up on Saturday night.
Man, I would like to go to Blacksburg now. This sounds like a food tour galore.
It is, just as Andrew said, it's your quintessential, like, college town. Like, it's like a three-block stretch with 10 to 15 bars and restaurants. PK's, the Cellar. Those would be my two recommendations. I will likely be a patron at both of those restaurants over the next couple days.
What does PK's serve?
PK's, if you go to PK's, you want wings and pizza. That is the go-tos there.
That sounds like a restaurant I would want to hit up,
yeah,
personally.
The Cellar is more like your sandwiches, pizza, calzones, kind of, like that kind of place. If you want a good burger, Sharky's, that's kind of where you go. Hokie House. We're just giving Nashville a tour of Blacksburg for the few people out there listening who might be there this weekend. So if you do, there are your recommendations. Again, appreciate Andrew coming on. 5 o'clock pregame, 6:30 kick, Vanderbilt and Virginia Tech on Saturday night, right here on 102.5 The Game. We'll take a quick break. We'll talk a little more Vandy football on the other side. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. There you go. Got some dynamite coming back. Vandy hitting the road for the first time this season, taking on Virginia Tech in Blacksburg on Saturday night. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Great time chatting with Andrew Allegretta, as always. You can listen to him right here on The Game when the Commodores and Hokies square off Saturday night. We were given our Blacksburg recommendations. I was wondering if anyone out there was listening to take them. Philip from Murfreesboro says, there's more of us than you might think. Thanks for the recommendations. See you in Blacksburg. There we go. So at the very least, my recommendations hopefully helped Philip out for his trip.
I mean, when I go sometime, that's where I'll be
all
going.
It's got to do is help one person. So yeah, PK's, the Cellar, Hokie House, Tots, Sharky's. That's the core five, I would say.
You know, you being the Blacksburg guy, are you going to be signing autographs when you get there too? Like, what's the deal with that?
So it is funny. I hosted a podcast when I was in college, and it was moderately popular among Virginia Tech fans. Uh-huh. Like, it was called the Tech Sideline Podcast, and I hosted it for 2 years. And I tell my fiance every time we go back to Blacksburg, I say, just warning you, like, somebody's going to come up to me and say something. And she laughed at me the last time we were there. And we get into Lane Stadium, and, like, no more than 5 minutes in, somebody comes up. It's like, oh, my God, Tech Sideline Podcast.
You're Jake Lyman.
The Virginia Tech community is, like, it's
close-knit.
Like, everybody kind of follows the same thing. So it is funny, though. Like, I'm not a celebrity by any means when I go into Blacksburg, but there always are two or three people throughout a weekend who recognize, like, oh, I don't remember your name, but I remember I used to watch you on the podcast.
Well, I mean, I guess Jake Lyman's going to have to give the update when he comes back.
Yeah,
I'll let you know. Sign three autographs.
No one ever asked for an autograph, I'll tell you that. It's more just like, hey, I recognize you, and they usually don't remember my name, but anyway.
They may take a picture with you this time.
Excited to head back down there, and if any Vandy fans are out there, I promise you, even though I went to school at Virginia Tech, I will not be wearing Virginia Tech stuff, so if you see me, be sure to come say hi. Vandy, going into game two, coming off a big win against Charleston Southern, big win in terms of, you know, margin.
Right.
You know, a good tune-up game for them. This is a big stretch for them. And I said it with the Titans with weeks one and two with the Broncos and the Rams. If you get out of it 1-1, I think you feel good.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of how you feel with Vanderbilt. If you can win one of these next two games on the road against, you know, South Carolina, obviously a better team than Virginia Tech, I think you feel pretty good going 2-1 coming back home for Georgia State and Utah State.
Yeah, I mean, going into this Virginia Tech game, and Andrew alluded to it, just the whole Kyren Drones, when Virginia Tech would pick and choose when to use him, like to run, I think that is so key. Obviously, he went on first and second down, like he was saying, but that is so key to just stop him when they actually choose for him to run, like a design run, because that just throws – that eliminates the other portion of their offense. Then that solely relies on him having to throw the ball. Nonetheless, he had two interceptions, like I mentioned last segment. So if Vandy can force Drones to have turnovers, especially in a very, I'd say, hostile environment in some regard, it'll be difficult for Vandy.
It's a very interesting game, and I think that's why I was looking at the odds a little bit. Like, Vegas is kind of lost on this. Virginia Tech opened as a 3-point favorite. It's moved back towards to a pick'em. Like, Vandy is the better team on paper.
Yeah.
Like, I think if you just lined them up and said, our best 22 against your best 22, Vanderbilt's the better team. But there is some get back, as I mentioned with Andrew. Like, the Hokies were a dark horse playoff contender last year heading into the season. Everyone was kind of like, man, could Virginia Tech be back? And they lose to Vanderbilt week one, and it threw their season off the rails. Also, those coaches are coaching for their jobs. Like, Brent Pry in Virginia Tech, he might have one of the hottest seats in major college football right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would look around. I don't know if there's a whole lot of power conference coaches out there who are coaching for their job more than Brent Pry is. It's a big game for them. I think Vandy is the better team, but it's in Blacksburg, and there's a lot of motivation. Not that there isn't motivation from Vanderbilt. Like, everybody wants to go win the game. But there's some desperation from Virginia Tech. I think it's going to be a really good game. If I would pick Vanderbilt, but I think it's going to be a good game that comes down to the fourth quarter.
I could see that. I really could. I lean more towards the Virginia Tech aspect of all this because it's a home game for them. You've experienced that environment. I just think environment's going to play a big factor into this, especially, you know, Pavia's played on the road in the SEC when he was at New Mexico State, now playing for Vanderbilt. I think this just brings a different vibe. I think this is something Pavia's never seen before, and it's going to be, I'd say, a little bit of a hiccup in the first quarter, maybe first half.
Yeah.
And maybe they catch on in the second half and get things straightened out. But I see a big challenge for Vanderbilt coming up this game. I really do.
I think it's going to be very similar to the game here last year. Like, that one went to overtime. I'm not going to project overtime, but I think it's going to be a game where either Kyren Drones or Diego Pavia gets the ball with 4 minutes left, needing a score, go try and win the game. Yeah. And we'll see which team stands up. But I think it's going to be a really fun one. On a weekend where there isn't a ton of great games, I kind of hate that it's at the same time as Michigan-Oklahoma. Because you look around the rest of college football, a lot of teams are playing their, like, gimme games.
Yeah.
This week. But Michigan-Oklahoma is at 6:30 on ABC. This game is at 6:30 on the ACC network, I think. And I would have loved for this to maybe be like your 3:30 game.
Just to get you spruced up, ready for that late slate.
It just, when there's only a couple of power conference games, like you got Oklahoma State, Oregon this weekend, Ole Miss, Kentucky, mm-hmm. which I would have been fine. Like Ole Miss, Kentucky, Virginia Tech, Vanderbilt, put them on the same time slot. Like that gives you two good options to watch. But
hey, watch out for my Bulldogs, by the way. I'm just saying.
Who do they have this weekend?
Arizona State.
Ooh, that's a fun one.
In Starkville.
That's a fun one.
Heard Adam Vingan yesterday.
That's at 6:32.
I know. Yeah.
Why are we putting all the good games this weekend at the same time?
I don't know. I guess there's not a lot going on during the day, or maybe they don't want the
US Open. I mean, you've got like Florida USF, which should be a fun-ish game. Like I think Florida wins by a lot, but like USF looked good against Boise State. And then the games I mentioned earlier in the day, like Ole Miss, Kentucky's at 2:30. Same with Oklahoma State, Oregon. Austin Peay, Georgia.
Hey,
Could the Govs pull off an upset for the second straight week?
Hey, Parsons a good quarterback, by the way, for Austin Peay. That was a Ravenwood kid. Actually was committed to Mississippi State. But
we'll see. They're going down to Athens, so we'll see if maybe they can keep that one close for a little bit longer.
They're a team to be reckoned with in the FCS, man.
They are. Really they are. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you want to text or call, our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Going to finish off the show talking some Titans because I am off tomorrow. I want to get my final thoughts on Titans-Broncos in week one coming up in these final couple of segments. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. That was Cam Ward asked about, what do you do if they take Calvin Ridley out of the game plan? Where else do you go with it? That was a good answer from Cam Ward that, hey, Calvin Ridley, stopping him easier said than done, but he's got other options out there. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. That is one of the things that I think my focus will be on Sunday. There's a lot of things that I really want to see for the first time in live game action. The offensive line, Cam Ward, obviously. But I think it's the secondary playmakers that I really am interested to see who steps up. Because this offense has the chance to take a pretty big step from being what, like 27th in scoring, 29th in yards, something like that last year.
To be in the high 20s.
Right. You know, like you could get yourself to being an average to above average offense, but you got to have options behind Calvin Ridley. And like Cam Ward said, Calvin Ridley's probably going to get his, even if Sertan's following him around. He's still going to get a couple of catches and he'll be a part of the offense. But you do need Tyler Lockett or Alec Iamanner or Gunnar Helm. Chigakonkwo. Somebody else has to step up on those third downs when they're going to say, hey, we're going to let anybody but Calvin Ridley beat us. And I want to see who's going to step up for the Titans on Sunday.
I found it interesting in that clip, Jake, that when Cam Ward was listing off the players, maybe a coincidence, whatever, he listed off Gunnar Helm before Chigakonkwo.
Do you
find that telling?
The way Corey Curtis talked about Gunnar Helm yesterday, and again, I haven't been out at practice. You know, usually they're practicing during the show, so I only get to hear what those guys see. But Corey was raving about Gunnar Helm, saying like, "Man, he could be second on the team in catches this year." I really do think Gunnar Helm is going to be a big part of this offense.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. There's something about Chigakonkwo that's not clicking for him. Nonetheless, he's probably being outperformed by Gunnar Helm, and I just think when you have a rookie-on-rookie, call it rookie-on-rookie crime, however you want to look at it, that's what you need. I think you're building good, clean chemistry from the start.
And that is if Gunnar Helm ends up being, and he doesn't have to be a star tight end, but if he can end up being a starting-level tight end, you know, a guy who you would pick in your fantasy drafts, I guess you would say. Like, that's kind of the definition of a tight end who's quality. A guy who ends up being a starting tight end in the fantasy league. Yeah. If he can be that, that's a huge hole that you don't have to worry about anymore. Like, yeah, you want some depth behind him, but that's safety blanket for Cam Ward. How important was Delanie Walker to Marcus Mariota early on?
Vital.
Crucial. Pretty much every big moment in the first 2 years of Marcus Mariota's career was when he was thrown to Delanie Walker. So I think that Gunnar Helm could be a key cog to the Titans' progress. Sunday's going to be interesting. This is a really good Denver team. I know Dre Greenlaw didn't practice yesterday. I don't know if he's going to be ready to go. I think it's a quad issue that he's dealing with. So we'll see if he's out there. I would guess he would be part of the solution to stopping the tight ends for the Titans. Yeah. Maybe Gunnar Helm can have himself a day.
I just found it interesting because on the Titans website, their depth chart lists off from first to second. Chigakonkwo is the first string.
Yeah.
And Gunnar Helm at second. And then Cam Ward saying vice versa. Again, could have rolled off his tongue differently,
right.
Whoever.
I think they're going to be used in different ways. So, like, I think the snap counts for them probably are going to be about equal. Mm-hmm. But it's just about where they're going to line up and how many targets they get.
Yeah.
So, we'll see with Gunnar Helm. But I think that is Helm, Iamanner, Lockett, DK, even Van Jefferson. Like, I think that group, Bryce Oliver, mm-hmm. How does that group step up if Patrick Surtain and this Broncos defense basically says, like, we're going to wash Calvin Ridley out as much as we can. Somebody else has to step up. And I'm interested to see who that is. I mentioned it early in the show. That injury report today can't come out soon enough because you feel so much better about this offensive line, the starting five, based on the investment they've put into it. And what we've seen in the preseason and training camp so far, there really haven't been a whole lot of concerns. Dan Moore has looked good. Skoronski's looking like he's ready to take the next step. Cushenberry's getting healthy. Zeitler is Zeitler. Like, he's at this point in his career, you have to just trust that he's still going to be the guy he's been.
Right.
And J.C. Latham looks like he's going to take another step at right tackle. He's gotten in shape. But if Dan Moore's not out there and you got to put Ali Udo at left tackle for Cam Ward's first start of his career, that changes this game in a hurry.
Grab your rosary beads because you don't want your franchise quarterback going down early in week one. I mean, that just throws all the expectations out the window.
Yeah, I think based on the silence around it, like, there really hasn't been much talk about him not being at practice. Nobody's raised any alarm bells. I think it's probably more cautionary. I think he'll be on the field today. But again, I said it to start the show. If he's a DNP for the second straight week, or second straight day, you might be in trouble. You might be in trouble.
Yeah, start turning some heads.
Legarius Sneed, no surprise, was limited in practice yesterday. I would guess he will be limited again today and probably Thursday or Friday, and he'll be questionable for Sunday's game.
Yeah, for me, Legarius Sneed, and I've said this multiple times throughout the last couple weeks, but for him to get back into football shape, I think the Titans are using week one to week three as a professional preseason. I air quote that because that's, I feel like, how they're going to manage him, just to get him back to ramp up to that football shape.
Yeah.
Do I think he'll be the Legarius Sneed of old? Probably not, but I do think he'll be serviceable. I think that's all you have, all you can, really.
Yeah.
And just be a serviceable corner.
Defensively, the eyes on Sunday are going to go to the interior of the defensive line. Is Big Jeff, slim down Big Jeff, is he a game wrecker like you expected him to turn into a couple years ago? Is Tavondre Sweat in football shape enough to be out there a lot? And is Legarius Sneed a capable cornerback? Lots of questions for Sunday. And they could all work out. And Adam in Portland texting in, he says, Jake, Titans 17, Broncos 14, tighten up.
Wow.
If the Titans do win on Sunday, I bet it's a score like that. Like, where the defense looks good, Bo Nix maybe makes a couple of mistakes, Titans are able to do enough to get a win. Low scoring. I want to say, like, the Titans' last four games against the Broncos, no one scored more than 17 points. So I would guess it's going to be pretty low scoring. If I had to make a pick, I would say it ends up being like Broncos 24, Titans 16, where you get one touchdown in the red zone. Maybe you struggle to get it into the end zone. You have to kick a couple of field goals. Maybe Joey Sly hits a 78-yarder like he was talking about yesterday.
That'd be crazy.
I think it's like touchdown, three field goals, and Bo Nix makes enough plays down the stretch, the offense, and they win 24-16. That'd probably be my pick.
I'm in the realm of 16-13 Titans. Like, I'm not too far off from Adam in Portland. I just think both teams get to 10 points, and then it becomes a kicker duel.
Yeah. Yeah. It is exciting to finally have a real game to talk about.
Yeah.
Because even last year, the games towards the end of the season didn't matter. Like, me and TD did Jake and TD every Friday during the Titan season. It's like, just filling an hour trying to preview a game when the Titans are 3-11, it's like, man, what matters in this game?
Who's coming off the practice squad?
It's good to know because, again, it's the NFL. Everybody's 0-0, and this league is built for everybody to have a chance. Yep. It is nice to have a game that actually matters coming up on Sunday.
Yes.
3:05 kickoff, Central Time, Titans and Broncos in week one. Adam in Portland taking the Titans. He's been on me all week. Called me a Broncos fan on Tuesday.
Saddle up, Jake.
I think TD set him pretty straight, though.
Yeah, TD had himself some words for Adam there. 9013, if I can get the text line to load, says, there's no way the Titans win. Is there? Question mark. There's a way. There's a will. There's a way. For sure. It's the NFL. I keep saying that. Like, this isn't college football. This isn't Mercer playing Alabama. Like, the Titans are a professional football team with talented players on the roster. They can win this game. I would say, based on these two rosters, it's unlikely they win this game on the road in Denver. But they could do it. They could do it. Adam in Portland says, it feels like it's been a 10-month offseason. Amen. It has been a long time coming since the Titans have played meaningful football. They will do it on Sunday. Excited for it. I will be back on Monday, so I'll have everything for you. Connor and Nick are going to be in tomorrow. So Nick Frazier will be joined by Connor Newt from 9 to noon, and they'll get you all ready for Titans and Broncos. We do have one more segment today. We're going to preview the weekend around the NFL coming up next to wrap up the show. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. The final segment of the show during the NFL offseason is upon us. We have NFL football tonight. Cowboys and Eagles, you can listen to it right here on 102.5 The Game. 7:20 kick between the defending Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys. Big weekend of football. We just went through Titans and Broncos. Lot to get into there. I mean, the Broncos are a good team. They're a playoff team. Yep. Good defense. Titans going to go try and upset them, get to 1-0 on the year. That's coming up 3:05 Central on Sunday. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly wrapping up the show. Chasing Big Joe coming up right after us. The rest of the weekend, I know they do this with week one, but there's a lot of really good games this weekend. You look, not only game tonight, game tomorrow night, Chiefs-Chargers. And the Chargers, they fool me every year. Every year I look at that roster and I say, man, if they just stay healthy and put it together, they could be in the Super Bowl conversation. And it never works out for LA. But big one against Kansas City down there in Brazil tomorrow night.
Yeah, Brazil, I'm intrigued to see how these teams kind of react to the long flights and just all that. I just, playing in Brazil, I get it. It's going to be a different weather. It's going to be a little bit more chillier. Yeah. Because
Southern axis, Hemisphere.
Yeah, all that stuff. I just think the Chargers, they got to figure things out. I don't know if it's Justin Herbert's fault. I mean, they're surrounding them with key pieces. You know, they got Trey Harris now. They got that Lambert guy from the preseason.
Yeah.
They kept him on the roster. Yep. I mean, they got guys. I just don't know how they don't produce.
Yeah.
Amari and Hampton's on the team now.
Chargers, they got the roster. They did lose Rashawn Slater, their starting left tackle. Had to flip Joe Alt over to left tackle, which we'll see how that works out. But I think that'll be a fun game tomorrow night. Last year's Brazil game was fun, too. Jordan Love looked like he might have had his season come to an end. It ended up not being quite as bad. Malik Willis had to be the starter. We know how that ended up. Other big games this weekend. I didn't even remember that the NFL did this because they released the schedule before Aaron Rodgers officially signed. Mm-hmm. But Aaron Rodgers' return trip to New York in week one.
Really?
Steelers-Jets.
Well, I mean, it didn't have really much for the Jets. I mean, you call it a reunion, sort of.
Is that the Sunday night game?
No, that's noon. That's early window.
Right off the bat.
Not a ton of great games in the early window. Bucks-Falcons should be good. I mean, that's the two best teams in the NFC South. But, like, Bengals-Browns, Panthers-Jags, Giants-Commanders, like, there's not a whole lot of great games in that early window. But you look later on, Lions-Packers, 3:25. Packers with Micah Parsons, yet to be known for sure whether he's going to play.
Yeah, will he play?
Will he play? But those are the two favorites in the NFC North, Texans-Rams, two playoff teams, then Sunday Night Football, Ravens-Bills, rematch of that great AFC divisional round where Mark Andrews dropped the two-point conversion late in the game. You know, they've loaded up this week one slate.
They really have. I think the Seattle-San Francisco game for me is going to be something to watch just because I was talking about JSN and that whole just high-octane offense they have now with Cooper Kupp and both the running backs and two tight ends that are young. So I just think it's a team that has a lot to prove. And so a team that San Francisco, they have to prove that those old veterans can still play along with Seattle, see if they can get all their pieces put together and can those really work. So
yeah.
There's a lot to, I guess, mix out with the kinks, fix the kinks.
And heading into week one, you always have to make the reminder to everyone out there that week one is a liar sometimes.
Yeah.
Last year, the Saints put up like 47 points in week one. And actually, they look good in week two, too. And everyone's like, wow, the Saints have come out of nowhere. And then they regressed and ended up just being a meh team this year. So week one results always get overblown because it's the only data point we have to go off of. Week one doesn't always tell you the truth about what a team's going to be. But we are getting a lot of marquee matchups, a lot of them like in division, which is big. Look at the Monday night game, Vikings-Bears. I know you're probably on the Bears to win like 56-0 because you hate the Vikings. But
just Vikings going 4-13 this year, man. I don't know what else to say. I'm just not high on J.J. McCarthy. I haven't seen much from the guy. And you could say I'm being negative towards him, but I wasn't high on him when he came out of Michigan either.
I'm not that high on J.J. McCarthy. I just think that that roster and the coaching staff is good enough if he's just an average quarterback to be 8-9-10 win team.
I was with you, Frazier, but then I look at who's coaching him.
Yeah.
Who's coaching
him? It's Kevin O'Connell.
Kevin O'Connell. He fixed Sam Darnold, so that's my only thing. But I was with you. I wasn't high on him either coming out of Michigan.
Kevin O'Connell has earned our trust, but that'll be a good Monday night game, and we'll be able to preview that coming up next week. But it's a fun week one slate. I think the game I'm most looking forward to has to be Ravens-Bills.
Yeah.
Like Sunday Night Football, I will be driving back Sunday and hopefully getting back just in time for the Titans game. But that'll be a nice evening. Get back and just get to settle in, watch the Titans play, and then watch Ravens-Bills right after. I'm very much looking forward to that.
Inject it into
maybe
my veins.
Maybe pick up some food, you know.
There you go. Know,
enjoy some Sunday night after
Whopper,
6
Whopper.
Hours of drive. Whopper. Yeah, no red zone.
Yeah.
Don't want the Whopper commercials. We did our NFL predictions. If you missed them earlier, I have Chiefs over Lions in the Super Bowl. Frazier has Chiefs over Commanders.
Yes.
He's big on the Jaden Daniels. Doesn't like J.J. McCarthy.
No.
Likes Jaden Daniels. I have the Titans going 6-11. Nick has them 7-10.
Yep.
Parker, what's your Titans record prediction?
7-10. I feel good with that number. I think Will Levis lost this team 3 games single-handedly by himself. If you don't have those stupid boneheaded turnovers, I think that improves this team by at least 3 wins. So 6-11 is probably safe, but I'm feeling 7-10.
Okay. Like yeah, it. So we as a show today are higher on the Titans than Robbie and Rex Road by about a win. So if you average them all out. Parker, I wanted to ask your Super Bowl prediction too. We should have gone to you on this too, but you know, before we get out of here.
I'm going Bills and Eagles.
Bills and Eagles. Okay, so only one that doesn't have the Chiefs going back, which if I'm picking just purely based on the team, I don't think the Chiefs are the best team in the AFC. But Agreed. it's there's some voodoo magic going on, and I can't pick the Chiefs until somebody proves they – or pick against the Chiefs until someone proves they can beat them.
The NFL storyline, I feel like it's already been written. The storybook creators, the script writers, they already have it printed out, Jake. It's on the desk.
One of my friends texted me. There was like a spreadsheet, and I'm sure this is just somebody made it up, but he was like, the script got leaked. It had the Titans going 3-14 again. So, you know, if that is real, we're in for another long season.
Oh, boy.
Fun show today. Went through our NFL predictions. Again, the NFL season starts tonight. Cowboys and Eagles coming up 7:20, you can listen right here on 102.5 The Game TV on NBC. Titans and Broncos coming up on Sunday. I am out for the rest of the week. I will be back on Monday. Connor and Nick in tomorrow. I'm sure they will have some great Titans insights, some great reaction to Cowboys and Eagles, so make sure you tune in for that. Excited for this Vandy-Virginia Tech game, too. I mean, I know Monday when I come back, it's going to be almost exclusively Cam Ward reaction, Titans reaction, but I'll have to sneak in some reaction to what I think is going to be a really fun game between the Hokies and Commodores, too.
Load up with the good food on Friday night?
Yes. Yeah. PKs, Cellar.
There you go.
I'm ready. I'm ready to go. That'll just about do it for us. Again, Connor and Nick are in tomorrow here on Next Man Up from 9 to noon. Chase and Big Joe are coming up next here on 102.5 The Game.